Good morning and welcome to our online Sunday service with Ingleton Evangelical Church. If you're joining us and you're not part of our church family, it's great to have you. If you don't know me, my name is James and I'm a member of this church and I'll be leading our time together. So we're going to begin by praying. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we praise you for being the great King and Creator of our world, full of boundless wisdom and goodness, love and faithfulness. We praise you that you are the unchanging God who can always be trusted to keep promises. We thank you for the many great and precious promises throughout the Bible. Please give us faith to hold on to and trust these promises in the difficult days we are living in. We pray for our land, and we ask that you would work powerfully in the hearts of people to change them so that they turn from their sin and look to you in repentance and faith. We pray that those who haven't experienced forgiveness would know the joy of having sins washed away. We pray that those who haven't had a relationship with you would gaze upward and see your smile. Lord, please have mercy on our land. Save many in these evil days. Father, we pray for the poor and needy throughout your world. We thank and praise you for the success of so many being lifted out of poverty in the last 40 years, bringing the number to its lowest in history. We are thankful for this blessing and answer to prayer. But we continue to pray for those who suffer because of poverty, for those who live day to day with polluted air and drinking water, those who are malnourished from lack of food, and are regularly ill and dying as a result. We pray especially for those affected by the coronavirus pandemic, which has made many of their lives even more desperate. We praise you that you are the God who is close to the brokenhearted, and you save those who are crushed in spirit. We pray for your intervention for the world's poor, that they would receive the basic necessities of food and water and shelter and clothing. We pray that they would receive the basic necessities of health care, that those who are in authority over them would be honest and humble and caring for their citizens. We pray that the church in these places would do everything they can to help, and most of all, to offer the good news of Jesus, the friend of sinners and Savior of the world. Lord, please move upon our hearts with your compassion. Please help us to be cheerful givers and share our abundance with those who are truly suffering. Lord, have mercy on the poor in your world. We pray now for our own hearts that you would encourage us with your promises, rebuke us with your warnings, gladden our hearts with the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray for all these things. Amen. Well, please now turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll be looking at the first three verses. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and one of our members will read that for us.
Bible reading this week is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation.
We've seen throughout our previous studies in the opening chapters of the Bible that Genesis confronts us with and ultimately answers the big questions of life. Where did everything come from and why does it exist? Genesis provides us with solid foundations that help us to weather the storms of life. It shows us how great God is, powerful enough to create everything with only a word, intelligent and wise enough to know everything there is to know. He created all things, visible and invisible, to display and reflect His glory and goodness. Genesis also prompts us to ask, who am I, and how do I fit into these purposes? We saw last time that humanity was the final thing created, uniquely made in God's image to resemble Him, to have a relationship with Him, reflect His character, and represent Him by filling the world He made with more image bearers, and reforming creation by ruling over and working in God's good world under His authority. Our passage today, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, shows us the answer to the big question, where is it all heading? All of creation, and especially God's image bearers, are caught up in a bigger story, one that spans the ages, ending in a climactic new beginning, the new creation. The seventh day is a picture of the world as it was, as it should be, and as it one day will be again. So let's consider four things about this final day from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And then we'll see how these things relate to our lives today. Firstly, the seventh day is the set-apart day. We saw in our first study in chapter 1 that God created everything that exists in 6 days, with God remedying the situation described in chapter 1 and verse 2, where everything was initially formless and empty. So days 1 to 3 described God forming the creation, and then days 4 to 6 filling the creation with inhabitants. Days 1 to 3 complement days 4 to 6. But now, there is a seventh day, a set-apart day, on its own, singular, standing by itself, complementing the previous 6 days. And this is made clear in chapter 2 and verse 3, where God declares this special day holy. Now, this is a Bible word that literally means set apart, unique, special. And it is a word that is always associated with God, who is in Himself holy. God chose this day as His own, like an artist signing his painting. He stamps the seventh day mine. It is holy. It belongs to God. So firstly, the seventh day is the set-apart day. Secondly, the seventh day is the day of completion and rest. Chapter 1 opened with the words, in the beginning. And as we thought about a few weeks ago, a beginning implies direction, a trajectory. Starting with a beginning, progressing through a middle, and finally arriving at an end. Everything began formless and empty. It progressed through this 6-day period of forming and filling, and now has finally arrived at day 7. Everything has been leading up to this final day when all is just the way God wanted. The goal has been reached so that God could survey His creation and say, "It is finished. Job done. It's very good." And our passage says that God rested. Now, please don't think that this means that God was tired or needed a break. As God, He has infinite resources. He never depletes His power. When it says He rested, it simply means that He ceased from His creative activity. He stopped creating because He finished the job. Now, as human beings, we all make plans. We all have good intentions, but so often fail to bring them to completion. Ask my wife Hannah about all my plans for DIY around the house. For instance, a drawer in the kitchen, still after 2 years without a handle. It bothers me every time I see it. And I dare not ask Hannah how she feels about this frustrating drawer. But if she did tell me, I would tell her that she just doesn't understand. There's always something else to do. Excuses, excuses. Well, in contrast to us, God sees things through. He is a finisher. He brings things to completion. He accomplishes his objective so that everything turns out exactly as he intended. In this case, a world formed and filled. And so he celebrates his accomplishment and smiles upon his handiwork. So the seventh day is special and set apart, a day of completion and rest. Thirdly, the seventh day is a day of blessing. Chapter 2, verse 3 says that God blessed the seventh day. God previously blessed the living creatures, both animals and humanity, telling them to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So, blessing has to do with fruitfulness and life and relationship. But now, God blesses the seventh day. At surface level, this looks like a paradox. The day of rest and completion is actually the day of activity and fruitfulness. But this is the day when life is lived. When creator and creatures have a relationship of life and harmony and wholeness. It is the day when we can be satisfied in the giver, enjoying his good gifts as he takes pleasure in blessing us. It is a day to live under God's smile. He actively blesses his creatures. He didn't wind everything up and just walk away like a child with a new toy he quickly tires of. No, God is all in, moving towards his creatures to bless them. So the seventh day is a special day, a day of fulfillment and perfection and blessing under the smile of its happy creator. Fourthly and finally, the seventh day is an unending day. One striking difference between days 1 to 6 and day 7 is that day 7 doesn't end. There is no concluding phrase, and there was evening and then morning the seventh day. This is very important for how this day relates to us as we live in the 21st century. As we read this account, we are supposed to say, if there is a day that we could live in, it's the seventh day we would choose. The unending, special day chosen by God as his own. The day of his achievement and rest. A day that he blesses and enjoys. He completed his masterpiece. He identified it as his own. And now he invites his image bearers to come and enjoy it with him. So many people, you and I included, are content to live in day 6, finding satisfaction and fulfillment in God's good gifts instead of the good giver of gifts. We trust and hope in good things, things like family and home and career, things like possessions and entertainment, admiration, and power. We hold up these good, God-given things as our ultimate purpose for being here. But we were made to live with God face to face in the seventh day, to know His smile, to feel His pleasure, to experience His blessing and rest, to be wholeheartedly connected to our Creator God. The seventh day is like coming home. So let me ask you, do you want to live with God in the seventh day, sharing in His blessing and His rest? Or are you content with other things? If you only live for created things, it will only end badly. But if you devote yourself to God, it will end with what you were really made for, enjoying Him in seventh-day rest and blessing. So why do we consistently choose to live in day six rather than in day seven? Well, it is because, as we will see in the coming chapters of Genesis, as the seventh day began, Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to live apart from God. They loved the things of days 1 to 6 more than the God of day 7. They rebelled. And every one of us who descend from them, all of humanity's warped and sinful family tree, is exiled into the world east of Eden to live a restless existence. But that isn't the end of the story. The good news of the Bible is that God's Son has come into this morally formless and empty world to offer us seventh-day rest and blessing. Through Jesus, we are being graciously invited to live with God in renewed relationship. Jesus is the Creator, come in human flesh. And He said these memorable words in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up My yoke and learn from Me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Those are some of the most hope-filled words that could possibly be spoken to restless image bearers like you and like me. Jesus is inviting us to seventh-day rest and blessing. What do we need to do? Do we need to work for it? Pay Him for it? Deserve it by cleaning up our lives? No. He says, "Come to Me, and I will give you rest." This longed-for rest is a gift from Jesus. We are to come with outstretched hands and open hearts and receive this good gift with gladness. Again, this isn't the rest we need after a long day's work. Jesus is inviting us to enjoy the blessing and rest of the seventh day in relationship with Himself. This is another way of speaking of salvation. Jesus embodies everything the seventh day symbolized. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 is merely a shadow. Jesus, God's Son, is the substance. He is the end point. In Him, all the promise and hope of the seventh day is found. Permanent, enduring rest, joy-filled, face-to-face relationship with the living God. Jesus gives us all of this in Himself if we come to Him and we receive this new life, this good gift, by trusting Him loving him, following him, enjoying him. This is good news. Where did everything come from? Why is it here? Who am I and how do I fit into these purposes? Where is everything heading? As we've been looking at over the last few weeks, the seven-day creation account gives us deep and firm answers to these important questions. As we consider the whole story the Bible tells, we learn that Jesus fulfills all of the promise and hope of the Bible's beginning, and especially of the seventh day. Firstly, he is set apart. He is the holy Son of God, unique, special, chosen, one of a kind, with a name above all names. Secondly, in him, everything is completed and summed up. He gets the job done. As he said on the cross, it is finished. As he prayed to his Father in John chapter 17, I have glorified you on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Eventually, he was raised to God's right hand and is even now seated on the throne of the universe, having finished his mission. His mission to come and save. Thirdly, in Jesus is all the fullness of God's seventh day blessing. Life and light, peace and joy is all bound up and pours forth from him into our lives. He is our happy creator, enthusiastically spreading gladness to the ends of the earth. Finally, Jesus is the immortal King whose reign has no end. From age to age, from everlasting to everlasting, he is God's chosen eternal King. This is who Jesus is. Will you respond to his summons and come to him? Will you receive Jesus as your rest and your blessing? Wonderfully, he gives us now in part what he will one day give in full, a new beginning, a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth, perfectly formed and filled and illuminated with the glory and goodness of God's presence. This is described for us in the final chapters of the Bible, the bookend to Genesis chapters 1 to 3. This is where history is heading for God's people. Won't you come? Won't you follow and learn from Jesus? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Come and find rest for your soul. If you are already a committed Christian, will you continue to hope in these promises and act now in confidence of your future reward? Perhaps you're struggling with present world events, or the despair you see in your community, or the brokenness you see in your own family, or the sin and the chaos that you see in your own heart. Well, God wants you to look to Jesus, who embodies in himself everything the seventh day stood for. Look to him. Hope in him. Why settle for the things in days 1 to 6 when you can have the God of the seventh day? To enjoy all that is good and true and beautiful with him now and in the world to come. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as Christians have prayed for 1,000 years, O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. You've sent your Son as Creator and Savior, who embodies everything the seventh day stood for. We ask that you would help us to receive these promises by faith, celebrating His accomplishment, worshiping Him as our great God and King. We praise you for the blood He shed as our price of admission into this special relationship and union with you. We thank you for transforming your people by your Holy Spirit into new creations, one day to see you face to face in unending gladness. May we be forever astounded by your goodness and your grace. And we pray all these things in the name of your great champion, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope these things that we have considered from the Bible have challenged and encouraged you. If you have any questions or comments, please do contact me through our website. I would love to hear from you. Go over to www.ingletonevangelicalchurch.org and click on the Contact tab. I would very much love to hear from you. Now, if you click on the YouTube playlist for this week, you can listen to or sing along with some songs that fit some of the themes of this morning's message. There's also a short talk by one of our church members, Lauren, on the fruits of the Spirit. So until next time, may God be with you till we meet again.